Texas America and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In the second hour of today's show, we will be joined by a guest, John Eidsmo of Institute on the Constitution. John Eidsmo is a very, very interesting man who is a Lutheran clergyman, but more importantly, has done an awful lot of work in terms of the whole issue of the Constitution. He's developed a special seminar series, which you can obtain by DVD, I understand, that will enable you and yours to study the original text of the Constitution and the historical context of that document, and to compare that Constitution with what is going on in American government and American society today. John's going to join us in the second hour of the show. We have quite a news summary to go through in terms of some of the major stories that I think are more important. But the first story we should mention is basically an establishment news story, and that is that Gerald R. Ford, the 38th president of the United States, has died. Ford was the nation's oldest living president. It's interesting to go back to that period of time, isn't it, for those of you who were alive in those momentous days in the early to mid-1970s when Gerald Ford replaced Richard Nixon on August 9th, 1974. As the 38th president of the United States. Well, that seems like a very, very long time ago, doesn't it? And, of course, with all of the establishment discussion of Gerald Ford, one thing I noticed was missing from all of the major news summaries that I saw today, and that is that Gerald Ford was the last living member of the Warren Commission report that gave essentially what I believe to be a false understanding and interpretation of the events surrounding the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the 35th president of the United States. But Gerald R. Ford is dead, the 38th president of the United States. And that, of course, goes back to the days of Ford's ascendancy to the vice presidency of the United States and his later ascension to the presidency in the wake of Richard Nixon's resignation on August 9th, 1974. Where were you at that time, by the way? I was in Iran and was in church, keeping in mind that in Iran, the weekend is Thursday and Friday, not Saturday and Sunday. And I heard the report of Mr. Ford's ascension to the presidency on a Friday when walking out of a community church in Tehran, Iran. And it was the talk of the people out on the street. And lo and behold, all these 32 and a half years later, we're now talking about the passing of the 38th president of the United States, Gerald R. Ford. Number of other interesting news items from the last couple of days. Dave Lindorf had a post yesterday at Counterpunch entitled, "Are Bush and Cheney Planning an Early Attack on Iran? The Crime of the Century." Lindorf writes that back on October the 9th, he wrote in The Nation that it looked like the Bush-Cheney gang, worried about the November election, was gearing up for an unprovoked attack on Iran's nuclear facilities, with a carrier strike group led by the USS Eisenhower being ordered to depart a month early from Norfolk, Virginia, to join the already on-station USS Enterprise. That article is based on reports from angry sailors based on the Eisenhower who had leaked word of their mission. There was, thankfully, no attack on Iran before Election Day, but it is starting to look like a number of people may have been right about the plan after all, but wrong about the timing. As the threat of a catastrophic U.S. election eve attack on Iran started to look increasingly likely, reports began to trickle out of the Pentagon that the generals and admirals were protesting. They knew that the United States military is stretched to the limit in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that a war with Iran would be a disaster of historic proportions. To bolster their blocking efforts, according to Lindorf, the Iraq Study Group, headed by Republican fixer and former Secretary of State James Baker, which had been slated to release its report on what to do about Iraq in January of 2007, pushed forward its report. Baker, together with co-chair Lee Hamilton, went prematurely public with the group's conclusion that the Iraq war was a failure and that the U.S. should be trying to negotiate with Iran, not attack that country. We'll be back with that news item and with a number of other news stories when Mark Dankos, America, returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And stay tuned for John Eidsmo of Institute on the Constitution in the second hour of the show.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing. And no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Mark and Cost America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're doing a little bit of an in-depth search of some very key news stories from these last couple of days in the first hour of the show. And then John Eitzma will join us in hour number two. He is the head of something called Institute on the Constitution. I met him some years ago and have listened to his presentation on the Constitution via the electronic news media of our age, or the electronic means of communicating news. I purchased some of John's DVDs some years ago and have really found it worthwhile to go through the original text of the Constitution of the United States with his guidance and explanation in terms of its historical context, and really to compare what is going on with our founding fathers vis-a-vis what is going on today. And in terms of the many things that we could talk about with John Eitzma in the second hour of this show, I'm sure that war-making powers would be one of them. As we get back to Dave Lindor's post in yesterday's Counterpunch, entitled The Crime of the Century, Lindor reports that the idea of attacking Iran is again moving forward. The Eisenhower strike force, armed with some 800 Tomahawk cruise missiles, as well as a fleet of strike aircraft and already on station in the Arabian Sea for over a month and a half, has now moved into the Persian Gulf. A second carrier group led by the USS Stennis is steaming toward the Gulf as well. Already in position are three expeditionary strike groups and an amphibious warship, all suitable for landing Marines on Iranian beaches. On December the 20th, the New York Times, citing Pentagon sources, reported that both Britain and the United States are moving additional naval forces into the region, quote, in a display of military resolve toward Iran that will come as the United Nations continues to debate possible sanctions against the country, unquote. Lindorf adds as an editorial remark that we've all seen what displays of force by the Bush administration actually turn out to be. You know, as you look at this whole story, folks, it's quite amazing that comes in tandem, of course, with what the Washington Post and other major news agencies were saying a day or two ago in regard to the testing, of our drafting capability, and to the testing of the machinery that would be involved in instituting a draft again, just to make sure that it's ready. That would be my interpretation as to what's going on there. And quite clearly, talking yesterday with Dr. Kaveh Farooq of the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada, the Persian-Iranian scholar, becomes very clear that what Dave Lindorf is talking about today in regard to the pending crime of the century and his post at Counterpunch is being complemented by all kinds of covert activities clearly going on in certain provinces of the government of Iran or the country of Iran. And keep an eye, again, on Iranian Azerbaijan. Dr. Farooq was explaining yesterday something that I was not aware of until first reading some of his material several years ago, and that is that this whole ideology of pan-Tehranianism, and if you don't know what pan-Tehranianism is, listen in to yesterday's broadcast on this show where Dr. Farooq discussed some of this. Also look for his post at Rosanna Magazine, where he has an online book of hundreds of pages dealing with the issue of pan-Tehranianism since the 19th century and how it was utilized and manipulated and co-opted by both the Russian and British imperial powers in the 19th and 20th centuries in the Middle East, and particularly in Iran. And note how it's being used now, apparently, to support a secessionist movement in Iranian Azerbaijan that ultimately is directed against the central government in Tehran. And in conjunction with the support of this pan-Tehranian ideology, we're seeing clearly, again, reports that not only are we looking at the kind of conventional naval buildup that Lindorf is talking about in Counterpunch, but once again we're seeing reports in the international press that the United States and Israel are involved in machinations in Azerbaijan, and specifically in Baku, that involve what may be a very secretive or not so secretive buildup of special forces that may be utilized prior to an actual attack on Iran for purposes that would be designed to soften up certain targets. But suffice it to say that as you look at what Lindorf has said at Counterpunch and what Dr. Farooq was talking about yesterday on this show, and quite clearly what continues to be reported internationally in regard to the presence of American and Israeli special forces in Azerbaijan, something is quite clearly afoot. And, you know, as you look at this whole circumstance, the fascinating thing about it all is that we could be doing as badly as we're obviously doing in Iraq, and regardless of what one believes about the whole character of that military involvement and what led to it, clearly it's not going well. And here we have a circumstance once more where a policy that is clearly rooted in fallacious presuppositions and that is clearly rooted in a complete lack of military planning and military execution, and one that, based on the British experience and the Soviet experience in that part of the rule, in my judgment, was doomed to failure. Here we see that on top of what is happening as we are continuing to flail away in Iraq is now going to be compounded, apparently, by what could be, before the end of this coming year, an American, British, and potentially Israeli attack on Iran that, in my judgment, would produce, quite conceivably, a set of circumstances that would certainly change the course of the United States forever, and I would argue the course of the world. And we are looking, in my view, at what quite clearly could be the onset of a third world war. But certainly, again, back to Lindor's story, certainly the forces the Navy is assembling in the Persian Gulf, together with the B-52s and B-1s and B-2s available at Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean and at bases in other countries in the region, are capable of destroying most of Iran's nuclear facilities as well as its military infrastructure. But in terms of conquering territory, The most the United States could hope to do would be to perhaps hold a beachhead in the Straits of Hormuz, where the Persian Gulf links to the Arabian Sea. And even that would be a bloody challenge. There is no way that the United States could hope to conquer Iran. You know, what's interesting is to compare Lindorf's analysis of the air war with what Lieutenant General William Odom was talking about the other day through the Nieman Foundation, the Journalism Center of Harvard University. Odom seems to be less optimistic about what U.S. air power can achieve in regard to specific strikes on Iranian nuclear installations. And he insists that this aerial operation, which would have more problems than perhaps Lindorf has anticipated because of the newly hardened character of those Iranian sites, would have to be accompanied by the massive committal of ground troops to that region in a way that I think both Lindorf and William Odom and other people who are involved in discussing these things militarily freely acknowledge would be a virtual impossibility. And going back to what Dr. Farouk was talking about yesterday on this show, when you look at the Iran-Iraq war between 1980 and 1988, one thing clearly emerges, and that is that Iranian Azerbaijanis and Arabs with Iranian nationality in Khuzestan province came to the defense of Iran when it was attacked by Saddam Hussein and Iraq. That is something that absolutely needs to be underscored from yesterday's show for the simple reason that would seem to completely discredit this idea emanating from American neoconservatives that country, meaning Iran, can be dismembered in terms of tribalism and sectionalism, dividing Balochistan and dividing Khuzestan province and dividing Azerbaijan from the control of the central government in Tehran. That would seem to be disproven, as Dr. Kaveh Farouk was discussing yesterday, by what happened between 1980 and 1988 in the Iran-Iraq war. In that particular circumstance, the fact of the matter is that the Iranian people unified in terms of repelling the Iraqi invasion, showed that they were very willing to be in a war for the long haul against a tough opponent and to sustain a massive number of casualties. It's estimated that there were approximately 1.5 million casualties in the Iran-Iraq war from 1980 to 1988, the most bloody conflict since the end of the Second World War. So we might ask the question, why is it that American neoconservatives believe once again, in the words of Kenneth Cakewalk Edelman, that this latest proposal to deal with Iran militarily should be some sort of a cakewalk, when obviously the prophecy of Edelman and others that Iraq would be a cakewalk have proven to be catastrophically false. The fact of the matter is that as you look at this whole situation, I don't think there's any question that the people who want this war are the Israelis, are the central bankers, are the international oil conglomerates, and you can pretty much take your pick as to who the major players are in those three constituencies. And, of course, the American neoconservative element, presently advising leaders of both of the major political parties, is serving in a very complex, intertangled web of relationships with these other constituencies that we've already mentioned. Israel, particularly, the oil consortiums, secondarily, and certainly central banking. There you have it, folks, in terms of the major players that would seem to be involved in wanting to promote this latest attempt at an imperial war of conquest in the Middle East. But as we said many times on Mark Dankoff's America in recent weeks on this show, we can look at the 20th century alone, to discover that in that part of the world, the British and the French and the Soviet Union, just to name three, found themselves floundering in the rocks of that whole region. And we may find that the American Empire is getting ready to bite off a task that is much larger than it can chew. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll cover some more news items and discuss the Constitution with John Eidsmo in the second hour. Stay tuned.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you're mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasermedinc.com. That's www.lasermedinc.com or call 702-953-0267.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking about some news items in the first part of the show today. In hour number two, John Eitzmo of Institute on the Constitution will join us to talk about the Constitution of the United States and how that document differs from the direction that our government has been going in for a very, very long period of time, what the discrepancies are, what the possible cures might be. You know, one of the things that comes to my mind, frankly, as I begin to read some of the things like the post of Dave Lindorf at Counterpunch yesterday talking about the crime of the century, the impending, what seems to be the impending Bush-Cheney plan to attack Iran. I am just praying that out of all of this, that there might be yet some semblance of sanity emerging out of this darkness. You know, history has turned on such things as this, and quite clearly I don't think there's any question that history may in fact be turning in regard to this whole question of the American Empire. You know, it was once said that the 20th century was the century of the American Empire, It's been suggested that the 21st century is in the process of seeing a historical transition away from the so-called American Empire to some other big kid in the block. Communist China, of course, is the name that most frequently comes up. And at one level, when we hear that, it might seem rather ominous, but at another level, maybe this presents the seeds of an opportunity. Maybe it's going to take a circumstance where the so-called empire completely flounders, and the forces of central banking and international oil conglomerates and the Israeli lobby and others are going to have to lead the American empire into a complete abyss for the people of this country to take their country back. And, you know, it seems to me that when we talk about that, it's undeniable that the America of a previous era is under complete attack from without and within. We're clearly involved in an overextension of military empire in a way that would have horrified the founding fathers of this country. That overextension of military empire has not only involved us in an unwinnable war of counterinsurgency in Iraq, but when we start looking at the massive amounts of money that continue to be borrowed to support this disastrous effort, it's just beyond the imagination. The billions of dollars that are being borrowed from foreign banks, principally Asian banks, to finance this situation. And between the fact that quite clearly those Asian bankers can see that things are not going well for the American imperial effort in Iraq and potentially in Iran, and they're watching very closely this story that James Turk, among many others, has been reporting on in recent times, that Iran is in the process of switching from the dollar to the euro in terms of its own oil transactions and economic dealings generally. It may well be time at some future juncture, particularly if an American military attack on Iran does occur and results in disasters unforeseen by the neoconservative monoliths advising both of the major political parties in this country. It may well be that that will be the time when there will be a jettisoning of the American dollar worldwide. That is something, of course, that continues to be predicted by those who advise us in the non-establishment press. And I believe that there is something to this story. As a matter of fact, I flat believe it to be true. And if, in fact, it comes down in the way that I think it will, subsequent to the expansion of this military involvement in the Middle East, it will then beg the question as to what you and I do, or what we can do, to protect ourselves and our family members and our loved ones from what would continue to be seen as potentially the biggest political and military and economic disaster impending on the horizon in the history of the United States. I talked a little bit yesterday about this James Turk story on Iran, the euro, and the dollar before I brought Dr. Kaveh Farouk on as my guest. That James Turk post is in something called Gold Money. He talks about three strikes against the dollar, and Mr. Turk mentions that the markets are winding down for the year-end holidays, and as a consequence, little consideration or attention is being paid to three events, each of which adds another nail to the dollar's coffin. First, of course, is Iran and euros. This is something that has been discussed by Dr. Krasimir Petrov, chiefly in the international press in recent months. Now we're hearing about it from James Turk and Gold Money and from two or three other notable sources. But this whole business of Iran and euros, it's been given scant coverage in this country, but Iran's decision to drop the dollar in favor of the euro has been receiving widespread attention in Europe. As reported by AFP in France on Monday, Iranian government spokesman Gholam Hossein Ilham told news reporters, quote, "The Iranian government has ordered the central bank to replace the dollar with the euro in commercial transactions," unquote, repeating exactly what Saddam Hussein did in September of 2000. Lest there be any misunderstanding, Ilham went on to say, quote, "Foreign income sources and oil revenues will be calculated in euros, and we will receive them in euros in order to put an end to our dependence on the dollar," unquote. This change, according to James Turk, will lessen the demand for dollars, which will cause the value of the dollar to drop. That is the first strike of three strikes that he mentions in this story. I want to return to the other two and to some other news items in these waning days of the year 2006 when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back in the second hour of the show with John Eidsmo of Institute and the Constitution. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been discussing a series of news items in the first hour of the show. We will be back in the second hour of the show with John Eidsmo of Institute and the Constitution. All kinds of things that I want to talk about with John because of his absolutely encyclopedic knowledge of the Constitution of the United States. And I think you will enjoy the very traditional perspective that he gives us on the enumerated powers of the Constitution. He, I'm sure, will have a lot of things to say about the dangers of this imperial war-making that we've been seeing in recent times in our country. And I think may have some very, very interesting perspectives on the Federal Reserve Board. I want to ask him some specific things about it, because getting back to James Turk's article entitled Iran, the Euro, and the Dollar in Gold Money, Turk goes on to say that the second strike against the U.S. dollar will be the United States' ban on the melting and export of coin. He says that the U.S. Mint implemented a new regulation that bans the melting down and exporting of pennies and nickels. It is sound economics to harvest the metallic value of these coins because the value of their base metal content is greater than the coin's face value. Here's what Lee Rogers, editor of the Funny Money Report, says about it. His analysis is spot on, according to James Turk. Quote, they, U.S. Mint officials, claim that they are imposing these rules because they don't want certain individuals who melt down coins taking advantage of the American taxpayer. It isn't the people who are melting down the pennies and nickels that are taking advantage of the American taxpayer. Those people are just trying to protect themselves from the stupidity of the Federal Reserve that continues to destroy our currency. The Federal Reserve is the very reason why the melt value of these coins has risen beyond their face value. Federal Reserve notes have lost over half of its value in terms of gold and silver since 2000 because they have dramatically increased the money supply over this period of time. The Federal Reserve has taken advantage of the American taxpayer, not the people who are melting down these coins. It is complete rubbish that the U.S. Mint would make scapegoats out of individuals who melt their coins to be the ones who are screwing over American taxpayers. The press release should be blaming Alan Greenspan for taking advantage of American taxpayers because he was responsible for creating the excessive amount of credit that has since decreased the value of the currency. What is going on with pennies and nickels is an exact repeat of what took place in the late 1960s. Back then, the U.S. Mint made melting silver coins illegal. At that point in time, the melt value of silver coins became worth more than their face value. As a result, these coins began to disappear from circulation because people realized what was happening and kept them. Why would people use a coin to pay for something if the face value of it is worth less than the melt value? That's why the coins stopped circulating. I believe that the exact same thing is going to happen to the currently circulating forms of pennies and nickels, unquote. That is James Turk quoting Lee Rogers, the editor of the Funny Money Report. And that entire article in the Funny Money Report is worth reading, according to James Turk. And it's something that I am going to post at a future juncture on Breaking All the Rules News. There are many lessons, according to James Turk, that we can garner from monetary history, but one of them is unmistakable. When debasement becomes so extreme that even the base metal content of circulating coins is greater than the coin's face value, that country's currency is headed for the currency graveyard and will soon be buried there. Strike two, according to James Turk. Strike three, according to Mr. Turk in his post for Gold Money entitled Iran, the Euro, and the Dollar, is increasing government control. Turk goes on to say that there's a corollary to the lesson from monetary history explained above. When a government interferes with commerce by imposing restrictions, commerce suffers. These restrictions impede economic activity, and that is a bad outcome because it is economic activity that is the backbone of society, as each of us strives to meet our needs and wants. There is perhaps no better account of this principle than the one penned in 1912 by Andrew Dixon White in his classic book, Fiat Money Inflation in France, which describes the horrific monetary debasement the French people suffered prior to Napoleon. He explains the adverse consequences that are caused by government controls and how successive controls by the French government inflicted increasing damage to that country's economy. White's book is essential reading and can be downloaded for free. I will later post that link at Breaking All the Rules News. Turk goes on to say that we have this week seen the principles expounded by White at work. The Thai government announced the implementation of foreign exchange controls, and one immediate response was the stock market there dropped by 15%. Untold and unknown at this early stage is how severe the repercussions will be on that country's capital flows, both domestically and in its relations with the rest of the world. And then he goes on, James Turk does, to discuss something that was published 3 weeks ago in the online version of London's Daily Telegraph, saying, quote, while acknowledging that currency controls would be the quote-unquote nuclear option, the article says that Brussels may lawfully freeze capital flows in and out of the EU and within it, and that this could be done by a qualified majority, quote-unquote, of EU finance ministers. Goes on to say that this authority is already in place in Europe and was granted to, quote, enable Europe to stem the rise of the euro if the dollar goes into freefall, the underlying argument being that Washington should not be allowed to export the consequences of its own reckless spending policies through a beggar-thy-neighbor devaluation. The idea was to stop money coming in, though it could equally be used to stop money leaving, unquote. The really interesting question is why would the EU want to stop money from leaving? Simple, according to James Turk. If capital controls are imposed, they would come with compliance from other countries, particularly the United States and Japan, which would impose controls complementary to those implemented in Europe. In other words, though the above quote implies that the EU would pursue its own interests, the reality is that these countries' central banks are joined at the hip. Therefore, it is likely that the U.S. and the EU, with Japan as well, would pursue a common agenda, namely that they would drop the value of their fiat currencies more or less in concert so that they all end up losing purchasing power against gold and other tangible assets. But more importantly, these currencies would drop in unison against the Chinese yuan. In this way, the yuan's exchange rate would rise, in theory bringing down its trade surplus and also reducing the investment money flowing into China. It seems probable that the EU may justify taking this dire step toward capital controls on the spurious grounds that they need to prevent their monetary union from unraveling. So strike three is against the U.S. dollar, the euro, and the Japanese yen. In summary, from James Turk at Gold Money, the outlook for the U.S. dollar is worsening, which is a conclusion that can also be reached by looking at what happened during last week's trip to China by Treasury Secretary Paulson and Fed Chairman Bernanke. They came home empty-handed, without any concessions from the Chinese or commitments by them to help the U.S. by continuing to hold dollars, which the U.S. is recklessly spewing throughout the world as a consequence of its ongoing trade deficits. That's James Turk and Gold Money on Iran, the euro, and the dollar. I wanted to go back a little bit to discuss something that was mentioned yesterday on the show as well. When we had John Basil Utley of Americans Against World Empire on the show some days ago, he brought to us all kinds of takes on what was going on with neoconservative policy in the Middle East and what was happening to our own country constitutionally at the hands of the National Security Establishment. Utley has a new post at antiwar.com. You can find it, I think, still on the main news page if it's not there. You can find it through the John Basil Utley archives at antiwar.com, and it's entitled, Who Might Be Shooting at Both Sides? 13 Groups That Favor Chaos in Iraq. You know, what's interesting is that this particular chaos seems to be something that a lot of unseen hands are manipulating and some would argue bringing to pass for their own purposes that are not necessarily seen. There are invisible purposes, invisible hands, pulling the strings of the puppets of the players in this situation in Iraq, that may well be doing the same thing when it comes to Iran. What is the relationship between all of this and international politics as it relates to the fall of the dollar, the pressure upon the euro, the relationship of the dollar and the euro to the Chinese yuan, the whole question of Asian central banks and what they will or will not do in the wake of these trade and budget deficits, and in relation to the American quandaries and quagmire in Iraq? All of that remains to be seen in the days that are ahead. But suffice it to say that once more, we get back to what I think is a pretty good operative thesis, and that is that central bankers, international bankers, are very much involved, along with petroleum consortiums and the Israeli lobby, and their intertwining, interlocking network, spider-like network of relationships, to be the real players who are involved in what may or may not happen in the Middle East and in Central Asia, specifically involving Iran in the days that lie ahead. But at any rate, John Basil Utley in his post for antiwar.com yesterday, who might be shooting at both sides, quite clearly that as you look at what John is telling us, what he discussed previously when he was a guest on this show, quite obviously, there are a number of groups with an interest in continuing the chaos. The first is Al-Qaeda. John Basil Utley underscores that bin Laden must be laughing every day to see America's army being hollowed out, as the Army Chief of Staff describes. Further, every picture of Arabs being killed by Americans furthers bin Laden's objectives. There are too many ways bin Laden is winning to describe here. For details, according to John Basil Utley, see his previous post, The 36 Ways the United States is Losing the War on Terror. You know, it's interesting. We have, according to what I was reading the other day, something like 37 active duty brigades that are predominantly tied up in this Iraqi incursion. We're seeing a lot of stories coming out of even the mainstream press in regard to these perpetual troop rotations, two and three and four times as many as was advertised when we began this effort almost 4 years ago. It becomes very clear, doesn't it, that if we are having this much trouble in a country of 26 million people and we are presently occupying that country with under 150,000 troops and talking about increasing the size of our army by 20 to 30,000, that this is suggestive that things are absolutely not working. And they're not working for some specific reasons, chief of which is that the British found that with even a million troops in Mesopotamia in the 1920s, that they could not quell that area. We're discovering the limits of American power and the fact that the empire is in the process of being non-deified or undeified, as the case might be, that when you start looking at banking interests and the Israeli lobby and the international oil conglomerates, as was said yesterday by Kaveh Farouk on this program, these are the kinds of players that obviously are most involved in the decision on the part of the Bush administration to commit us to this war of counterinsurgency and occupation in Iraq, and if flat is not working. And if there is to be a preemptive strike against Iran, if we follow the logic of Lieutenant General William Odom, and if we follow the logic that Mr. Lindorf was arguing for in Counterpunch yesterday, there would have to be some type of committing of American ground troops to that area. In General Odom's perception, this is because an aerial war could not possibly guarantee the outcome that its advocates believe can be guaranteed, and that is the complete removal of the Iranian nuclear capabilities, and that's even aside from the political and moral question of whether or not the United States even has the moral right and the legal right to be doing this at all. Then we get into the question of the security of the Straits of Hormuz. And let me tell you, folks, all you have to do is to go back to what Sandra Mackey has already written about 10 years ago in her book, The Iranians, Persia, Islam, and the Soul of a Nation, and read in the very introductory pages of that book in the preface what happened in a place called Abadan. Abadan is a hell, Sandra Mackey says, in which the fire has finally gone out. An Iranian town separated from Iraq by the creeping marshes of the Shat al-Arab wears the awful scars of the eight-year-long Iran-Iraq war. Read her description of Abadan in her preface, and in that preface, then imagine on a much larger scale the catastrophe of Abadan suddenly becoming a catastrophe throughout that region of the world, and ultimately becoming a catastrophe that could involve a turning point for the American empire in a way that would be reminiscent of what happened to Thermopylae generations and generations and centuries ago. Roger in Pennsylvania, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I hear you're having John Eidsmo, so here I'm having to pinch myself thinking I died and gone to talk radio heaven.
Yes, I would love to have John for 2 hours. Unfortunately, he can only spend an hour with us, but he'll be on in the second hour of the show. He's quite a guy, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I'm going to try to crack at some hog time to offload some of my half a dozen or so questions. I've been trying to get him on here for years on talk, and it's pretty difficult. Hey, and also I might gather from what you said earlier that you might have heard that too, but I like to do this a couple times a year and highlight it not as a truth outlet, but merely a place where occasionally some leaks out around the edges. One of the rare few venues is, perhaps surprisingly, the PBS Commie Channel's McLaughlin Group. I think you might have stole the half a line from there, but now, it's their end-of-the-year awards ceremony, and, you know, no one can forgive the Republicans for allowing Eleanor Clift to be correct so much of the time these days when she had confined herself to being universally wrong in the past. Now, she's been dropping a few groaners last week, but next week is going to be the follow-up. It's a two-installment awards, and I encourage everyone to download it off the McLaughlinGroup.com or whatever it is. You can also get transcripts there as well as a stream. You can record the wave audio then as well. But in the Turncoat of the Year award, and everyone agreed, Pat Buchanan said that would have been the three neocons in Atlantic Monthly dumping on Bush for having wrecked their piece of cake war. And also, you know, politician of the year, et cetera, worst and best, et cetera. But lastly is, it was interesting that Eleanor Clift agreed, and even Fred Barnes agreed. He's a neocon in good standing, of course. So to hear them having conceded that this was the Turncoats of the Year. And really, there's only a microscopic deviation from the way they laid out this war to go. So, and McLaughlin himself said, you know, is there no limits to hypocrisy? So it's all pretty kind of entertaining marginally to hear this come out on that venue. And, what was the last one I wanted to mention? Not just the Turncoat of the Year. Well, anyway, my brain went dead here, so I'll have to hopefully...
Well, you know, Roger, a couple of things that you mentioned that I think are absolutely essential for all the listeners to understand, and that is that there is value, as you have underscored here, there is value in listening to mainstream electronic media and reading some of the mainstream print publications. And when we come back from the break, I want to say why, by comparison to what we talk about here at the Republic Broadcasting Network and what you can read in the American Free Press. There is a value to be gained by comparison and by analyzing what the establishment is saying. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Roger in Pennsylvania and another caller when we return.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you're mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com or call 702-953-0267.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Vedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Vedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280, or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been discussing a series of news items today that pertain to what I think will be some potentially dreadful turns of events in the next 12 months, related to Iran, related to the euro and the dollar, related to an ongoing drive toward world government, related to continued threats to the economic well-being and political and economic and cultural freedoms of our own nation, our own people within this nation. It's going to be an interesting time. And getting back to something that Roger was talking about, calling from Pennsylvania, watching the McLaughlin Group, which I did not see. I do think there's value in watching this stuff. I haven't caught the McLaughlin Group in a while. But I do look at Fox News. I try to catch Nightline from time to time. I will have to rededicate myself to occasionally looking at the McLaughlin Group, because all of these establishment figures from time to time do say something that is of value, or by their conspiracy of silence may tell us something as well that they don't necessarily want us to figure out or to know. But suffice it to say, in regard to what some of Roger was talking about here before the commercial break, it becomes increasingly clear that the political elite in this country, which controls corporate media, is sweating. They're sweating because it seems to me that more and more folks out there, ordinary folks like you and me, are figuring out what's going on, don't like the direction that our lives are taking under this kind of regime, and yearn for the days of old, when a document called the Constitution of the United States allegedly reigned supreme in determining what the powers of government were and were not, what they are and are not, properly understood in the American tradition. And whether we're looking at this war in Iraq, or we're looking at what the Federal Reserve has done to our economy and to our currency, when we look at the acquiescence of the United States Congress to all kinds of things that quite clearly are unconstitutional, unlawful, and inadvisable. And then, of course, when you add to that the cheerleaders for all of this going on in corporate news media, it's a very depressing set of circumstances in one way. And yet I'll ask John Eidsmo in the second half of this show if he, as a constitutionalist of the highest order, believes that this might also present some opportunities for us as well. Are we going to need to see the complete shipwreck of the American empire in order to return to the American Republic? You know, this is an idea that keeps crossing my mind late at night when I read and when I think and when I look at some of the emails that many of you send me. Seems to me that maybe that's the case. And although we do not know whether or not there will be an opportunity to revive the American Republic as it was once constituted, seems to me that there are more folks out there, again, that are experiencing a level of alienation and a level of anger and a level of disenfranchisement with what has been going on that might contain within it the seeds for something positive. Let's hope so. When we come back, I want to take a caller from Kansas and at some point want to engage John Eidsmo in conversation, the head of something called Institute for the Constitution. Mark Dankos, America, will return live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to
Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.